Greetings to everybody. Now we have come to the 8th chapter of Bodhicaya Avatara, which is on meditation. And this chapter is considered very important. His Holiness Dalai Lama often he praises a lot. He gives a very strong emphasis and importance to the Bodhicaya Avatara, and he says that the main reason why he could have so much confidence and experience of bodhicitta, he says, is because of this text, Bodhicaya Avatara, and he talks about the teaching that he received on the Bodhicaya Avatara from a great master called Khun Lama Tenzin Gyaltsen. Khun Lama Tenzin Gyaltsen was an Indian. He was born in Kinur, Himachal Pradesh of India. And then he went to Tibet, and he studied, of course he studied in India also. And he also knew Sanskrit. And when he went to Tibet, he went to all over Tibet, but especially to Kham. And he studied, he also taught Tibetan, especially Sanskrit and Tibetan grammar, to lots of people there, and he was very well known as a great grammarian and expert on Tibetan language. And he also received teachings from many, many great masters and also students of Pato Rinpoche, because he was there in the early 20th century, 1990s. And when His Holiness the Dalai Lama came to India, he was in India, and Khun Lama Tenzin Gyaltsen became very popular and very well respected in India. Not only because he was a very, you know, he was a yogi, practiced on his own. He didn't establish any big monasteries or any big teachings or anything like that. But when they started the Sarnath Institute for Higher Tibetan Studies, then the Tibetan government, under the guidance of Dalai Lama, organized a teacher's training of all the, you know, kempos and great geshes from all different schools of Tibetan Buddhism. And then they studied together, they discussed, and they also had brought the most learned teachers of that time to teach at that place. And Khun Lama was brought to teach actually Tibetan grammar. But when he started to teach Tibetan grammar, he kind of explained those grammatical things with example from all over, you know, the Tibetan literature. And he was so fantastic. He had such a fantastic knowledge and experience of all different, you know, studies or different aspects of the Tibetan Buddhism, that all the participants got completely, you know, moved, and all of them became his students, and he became extremely famous and well respected at that time. And so His Holiness the Dalai Lama also met him many times, and he studied with him a lot, and he also studied Bodhicaya Avatara with him. And His Holiness the Dalai Lama often says that because of that, because Kunlun Lama Tenzin Gyatso was not only a scholar but also a true bodhisattva, so he could actually, you know, understand and experience what has been taught by Kunlun Lama Tenzin Gyatso. And His Holiness often asks to study Bodhicaya Avatara thoroughly and reflect on it, study it, go through it again and again and again. And he says that he has been doing that all his life. And this is not a new thing. It's not a new thing. This has been actually a tradition, kind of, you can say tradition, but it's not really tradition. It's been experience that many, many great masters of Tibet did take up the study of Bodhicaya Avatara and the practice of Bodhicaya Avatara as their lifelong practice and lifelong study. You know the story of Kenpo Kunpa, who actually wrote this, the commentary, The Nectar of Manjushri's Speech. And he said that he received the teachings on Bodhicaya Avatara from Paturimpuche again and again, 40 times. And he said that each time he received it, he learned something new. So it was never a kind of boring, or never kind of gave him the experience that it was, he knew everything already. And after receiving Bodhicaya Avatara 40 times, and then, you know, he wrote down this book as, you know, and as according to the what Padre Rinpoche explained. And Padre Rinpoche used to give this, you know, used to teach this text all the time. He started from the beginning, and then he would come to the end, and then next day he would go back to the beginning and start to teach again. So for those people who were around him, kind of, it's not really public because very few people were around him most of the time, but he would always keep on teaching Bodhicaya Avatara. And His Holiness the Dalai Lama says that we should try to study and practice Bodhicaya Avatara again and again and again. And he also says that two special chapters that we need to focus on and specially give attention and would be very useful, he says, and has been extremely useful to him. Which chapter 6 on patience, and chapter 8 on meditation. So he gives lots of importance to this chapter, chapter 8. You would think that this would be a chapter on samatha meditation or vipassana meditation and things like that. Yes, of course it is also that in a way, but it is mostly, it is basically a chapter on compassion. How to really generate love, loving kindness, love, compassion, love without attachment, true love, true loving, you know, kindness and compassion, true way of having a kind of a boundless compassion, unattached compassion. Compassion of exchanging yourself with others. You know, sometimes we call it exchange yourself with others, the highest level of compassion. And that kind of compassion, you know, that's not compassion that's neither attached to yourself nor attached to anybody else or anything else, can happen only, you know, if you generate so much, you know, love and compassion, and completely free yourself from attachment, attachment to yourself, attachment to others, learn the love overpower, overcome the attachment. This is extremely important because we, you know, people, we samsaric people, human beings, is extremely difficult to free ourselves from attachment. And however, you know, kind of compassion and love we generate, there is lots of attachment attached to it, attachment kind of within that, that it is extremely difficult to free ourselves from those attachments and make it pure love and compassion. And unless that kind of love and compassion could be understood and experienced, then, you know, that compassion cannot be truly, what can you say, truly boundless or truly pure compassion. And it is not easy. It's extremely subtle because we, you know, the we have, all of us have love, all of us have some kind of some level of compassion and kindness, but it is very much mixed with attachment, and it's extremely difficult to even understand the difference. Or, you know, we, of course, intellectually maybe we can understand, but experientially to differentiate is extremely difficult. So anyway, so without too much words, we'd like to go to the text. So here it says, "Tetra chundu shene ne yene tengenzala yo." This is a kind of to bridge. The first two lines is to kind of introduce or bridge the chapter on diligence and the chapter on meditation or meditative concentration. The first stanza says, cultivating diligence as just described in concentration I will place my mind. In concentration I will place my mind. First, you know, by making understanding and generating the diligence, the joyful joy on doing positive things, or aspiration, positive aspiration, then I go into meditation. Now this is very important, because you know it's very two simple lines, but it's talking about two things, you know, the study and meditation. Now sometimes, you know, there are people who say that, you know, it's not useful to study too much. It doesn't need, you should not spend too much in studies. You should meditate. And you should directly go to meditation, because studying is a concept, a conceptual thing, and that can never lead to anything experiential. So, you know, the most important thing is meditation. It is true. Meditation is extremely important. But without study, you wouldn't understand the, you know, how to meditate. You wouldn't understand all the different things that you need to know about why you study, why you practice, why you meditate, and also, you know, there are lots of things to know that around and the background, and also the, you know, the view and how to see things and how to react to things and what are the most important things and, you know, what is really about the practice and what is the, you know, where to focus your practice on, and all kind of things. What are the, you know, true causes of suffering and problems and things like that, and you know, all different. So without meditation, you don't, you know, you could be, you know, you could be they say that, you know, you could be like shooting arrows in the darkness. So therefore, you know, it is very important to study. So therefore all these different chapters that were given so far are very necessary. And not only that, but you know, there are lots of good study. Not necessarily study every, you know, kind of branches of knowledge and to get all the information. And maybe not, but very important matters you need to study. But even if you know a lot, even about Dharma, even about like things, like how to work on yourself, how to, you know, the six parameters, and you know, the Four Noble Truths and Eightfold Path and everything. Even if you know a lot, if you don't meditate, then it wouldn't work. So therefore, meditation is extremely important. So these two has to go together. That's exactly what these two lines are saying. So I think I have to stop here. Thank you.